Oh man, kids, it's almost here, right? Merry Christmas officially. We're like hours and counting, right? Well, hey, we're excited you're here this evening. Again, my name's Kurt, if we have not had a chance to meet. And I don't know, I think all of us probably at least like certain things about the Christmas season, right? You guys like the Christmas season? Enjoy it? Yes. If I'm honest, I wish it was lasting a bit longer. I was a little bummed today as I was driving around, realizing we're down to like the last few hours. Because I think I like the season as much as I do the actual day. I don't know about you, but there's so much to love about the Christmas season. I just love the whole thing. I love, you know, Christmas music. In fact, we started Christmas music in our home, and don't boo me out of the room on this, all right? So hear me out. We started it on Halloween this year. Now here, let me tell you why. If you remember, it was a snowy, blustery Halloween night. Do you remember that? So my oldest two daughters became elves, and they handed out Halloween candy to Christmas music. How about that? And we just like kept it going, you know, from that point forward. And we love the lights. I mean, we decorate our house in lights. The movies, all of it. In fact, there are days where I just feel like I'm living a movie. I don't know if you ever feel that way, but like I walk down my stairs and I feel like I'm in the show. In fact, that gift right there, that was the absolute best gift of Christmas I've received in a long time. My family surprised me with the Clark Griswold jersey, and then it got better, believe it or not. We were heading that weekend to HSC, the Hamlin Southeastern Choir Show, back first weekend of December, called Jingle All the Way. Fantastic show every year. And one of my brothers, he texted me, he said, Kurt, if you wear yours, I'll wear mine. I'm like, you're on. So here we were at the very established, civilized show. You may even see him in the building tonight if you look close. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. So, I mean, we love everything about the season. And I don't know about you, but I think for a lot of us, we actually get two different Christmases. Think about this for a moment. I actually think that many of us experience two Christmases. On the one hand, there's the Christmas that we all want, right? That we imagine and dream about. And then on the other hand, there's the Christmas that we actually get, right? You familiar with that? You know what I'm talking about? And in fact, I want us to think about it this way. This ornament here kind of reminds me of the Christmas that I want. And for us, it usually doesn't begin on Halloween. It actually begins Thanksgiving weekend, usually the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We you know, come home, we go out in the front-wheel drive sleigh out in the wintry wonderland looking for the most precious of Christmas symbols, you know, the good old Walters family Christmas tree. In fact, we cut it down with our bare hands, and here's my son, Russ, and I, otherwise known as Matt. There's times where I'm like, hey, Matt! And he's like, right here, Dad. And so, you know, he unfortunately is kind of like my Russ. But we chop it down with our own hands. We go home, and we pull out the bulbs and the lights from storage, and, you know, the Christmas music is on, and there's, you know, eggnog in the moose cups, and of course, Pizza King pizza, because this doesn't get any better than that at Christmas time. And so it's just like in the air, there's a spirit of Christmas. And that, if I'm really honest, that's the Christmas that I want. That's the Christmas I dream about, where my family's around and everything's getting decorated and everything's lively and hope-filled. But then if we're really honest, there's also the Christmas that we get. And I don't know about you, but if you look around here at Christmas 2019, I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't exactly the way we dreamed of them, right? I mean, the Christmas we get in 2019 is a world that still has the real threat of nuclear war. The Christmas we get in 2019 is, you know, us enduring the largest refugee crisis our generation has ever known. The Christmas we get in 2019 is, you know, filled with political division and racial tension that's kind of dividing the fabric of our country. I mean, the Christmas we get in 2019 is the solemn reality of an impeached president. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you may fall on. It doesn't matter even what you really thought about the process. I just don't think there's anything, you know, that's enjoyable about watching the leader of our country be impeached. That's the Christmas we get. Christmas we get is a broken, fractured world. And that's out there, right? I mean, but when we look in here, it's sometimes as much of the same. And so, you know, for some of us, as we're thinking about this Christmas, we're not sure how we're going to pay for all the presents that we've bought because we're broke. That's the Christmas we've got. And relationally, you know, we've relationships that are broken. Maybe we're not really sure how our marriage is going to make it through the next year. There's a friendship that's fractured, or, you know, the families around us that just seem to be being pulled apart at the seams. And that's the Christmas we get. Maybe it's unexpected diagnosis of some kind. That's the Christmas we get. Or maybe it's even somebody who was here last Christmas and they're not here this Christmas. And this time of year, we just kind of feel the pain and the loss. And that's the Christmas we get. And here's the thing. It's not just adult stuff. I mean, it's kid stuff too, right? Kids are in the room. Students are in the room. Kids, you guys know the what it's like to live in a broken, fractured world, right? It might be in your homes or in your school or with your friends. It might be in the form of bullying, and that's the Christmas you get. Or it might be in the form of an addiction that a friend has or depression that he or she's going through or even thoughts of suicide. And that's the Christmas that we get in 2019. And you know, that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago, I think that first Christmas was a lot like this Christmas. And when you think about that first Christmas, I mean, in some ways, it was actually the Christmas everybody wanted, right? I mean, you had angels coming down out of the sky, you know, singing glory to God in the highest. You had shepherds rushing across a field just to get to the edge of the cradle of this Christ child. And you have, you know, a star that just appears in the night sky and lights the way to where this child is born. And then you have this quaint little Christmas town known as Bethlehem. Right? And everything about that quaint little town, you know, is just pristine. And on that still, silent night, the Christ child is born in candlelight. I mean, how much more Hallmark can it get, right? I mean, that's the Christmas everybody wanted. But then they also had the Christmas that they got. Because see, in that first Christmas, they couldn't ignore the reality of the Roman Empire who was, you know, ruling with an iron fist and how those who were poor were just getting poor and being oppressed in poverty because taxes were going up, up, up. And then there was this thing called the slaughter of the innocents, which we don't like to talk about at Christmas time because it's not very bright and merry. But it's an edict that was put out by the king to kill all boys under the age of two, to have them assassinated, because he was fearful this newborn king, wherever he might be, might take over his very throne. And so he just thought, if I kill all the two-year-olds and below, I might kill that king who wants to unseat me. And that's just the global and like political tension going on at the time. And then on a more personal level, for some of the key figures in this story, I mean, the Roman emperor issues a decree where everybody has to return to their hometown to be counted for a census. And talk about bad timing. I mean, Joseph, he goes to Mary and he's like, Mary, I've got some bad news and I've got some really bad news, right? Like, the bad news is we've got to go back to Bethlehem, and I know you don't like to go there, but we got to go there anyway. We got to be counted. The really bad news is the best way to get there is a donkey ride, right? That's the best way to get there. And you thought the 3.5-hour car trip to Chicago was a bit inconvenient, right? Mary gets to take a donkey ride while she's pregnant. And do you remember the angel, when the angel came to Mary, if you know the story, early on, like when she first finds out that she's going to be with child, like the Son of God is going to be impregnated into her, the angel comes and says, hey, Mary, guess what? You're special. God has a special plan for you. In fact, the words of the angel are this: Mary, God's favor is on you. And so little Miss Favored by God gets to go on a 120-mile donkey ride while she's 9 months pregnant, all right? And if you remember the story, it takes them so long to get there. By the time they get there, there's no room in the inn. Yeah, you know the story. The moral of the story is make reservations, right? Just plan ahead. I mean, so, you know, I picture Mary just standing there as, you know, I don't know, a 14, 15-year-old teenager saying, Angel, I think I want out of this story. I didn't sign up for this part of the story. You didn't tell me about this part. Could you do something, or at least give me a Holiday Inn Express, if you don't mind? I mean, Mary, everything about Mary's story is just going down, down, down. It's deteriorating. And in some ways, when we think about it, everything from the very first Christmas to Christmas 2019, that there's always been this tension between the Christmas that you want and the Christmas that we get. And yet in the midst of that first Christmas, on that very first Christmas, God showed up and brought the world exactly what they needed. In fact, 700 years before baby Jesus ever emerged on the scene, there's a guy by the name of Isaiah. He was a prophet. And in Isaiah, he described the coming of this Messiah. In fact, here's what he said about him. He said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders." Now, he wasn't talking physical government. He was talking about the economy of the world. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." In essence, he said, this little baby that's coming is going to be a prince of peace. Now, we get the idea of a prince, right? I mean, we somewhat know princes. I mean, at least from the world stage. I mean, we see princes. We know princes are people in authority. They're usually the son of a ruler, the son of a king, right? So we get a prince. But the whole idea of peace is a bit nebulous to us. In fact, if we were to go around this room and just, you know, ask everybody seated here, what's your definition of peace, which we're not going to do, by the way. But if we did, you know, we'd probably get as many definitions as there are people seated in the room this evening. But we do know this. Peace is something we want, but it's also something we need. And so if we look a little closer at this story, we go back to these words of Isaiah. In the original Hebrew language, the word for peace is a much deeper word than you and I think about peace. It's actually the word shalom. Now, shalom is way different than peace as you and I know it. See, we think of peace as like the absence of fighting. Like what was happening on the way to Cross Point tonight, and the kids are in the back, you know, seat fighting, and they're like, oh, they quit arguing. There's some peace. It's way deeper than that. It's more than like a temporary truce, or there just isn't any conflict anymore. See, shalom, it's this deep sense of making things whole. It's this deep sense of restoring things. It's this idea of bringing things back together, things that have been fractured and shattered and broken, coming back together. It's this idea of mending broken dreams and even making a pathway for you and I to be reconciled and be able to come back and connect with God. And so when they hear that there's a prince of peace coming, I mean, they know it's somebody who's going to have an authority and somebody that's going to have a power, a prince, if you will. But this is someone who's coming to make all things well again, to bring things back to the way God intended, to restore, to put things back together, and even to help us be reconnected to our Heavenly Father. It was like a total peace, a shalom. And see, the good news of Christmas is not only in that first Christmas did that Prince of Peace come, but he's still right here alive and at work and active today to all who choose to receive him. And it's one of those crazy things. I tell you what, when you receive this kind of peace, this kind of shalom, there's a wholeness, there's a completeness that you begin to sense. And it's the kind of peace that can mend a broken heart. It's the kind of peace that can restore a shattered dream. I tell you what, we see it all the time. It's the kind of peace that can bring a fractured family back into healthy living and being restored. It's us coming back into connection with our Heavenly Father. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Lord. Regardless of how far away you may feel this Christmas, regardless of how maybe you once believed and you've kind of fallen away from that. See, the wonder and the mystery and the magic of Christmas is that this was the moment when God rushed forward, not just to show us physically what he was like, though he did that, and not just to show us that he cared, though he did that, but he rushed forward to bring us exactly what we needed. And whether we're experiencing the Christmas we want or the Christmas that we've gotten, it has this ability of shining the lights of Christmas into our lives. You know, there's something about the light. The light is amazing. It feels good to be in the light. It feels warmer to just absorb the light. At Christmas, we're reminded that a light has come into the world. In fact, Jesus, everywhere he went, it was just brighter. It was just warmer. It's where everyone wanted to be. In fact, John even said of Jesus, in him, meaning Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And so I don't know what you've been experiencing as you've been approaching Christmas. I don't know what pieces in your lives you may have been trying to put back together. But regardless of the Christmas you got or the Christmas that you've wanted, in Jesus is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And this light has a way of shining into our lives and bringing warmth and peace and wholeness. For some of us, those shattered things may be things like jobs lost or ambitions unrealized or dreams unfulfilled. And he comes to bring a light into those dark places, a hope, a shalom. For others of us, it might be something relational, a friendship that's just fractured. A marriage that seems like we're not sure where it's going to go. A family that seems to be fracturing. And Jesus, again, shines his light into those places and brings a hope and a peace and a shalom. For others of us, it's a loss that just has a way of rising to the surface this time of year. And so whatever it might be, there's a warmth that comes, especially during the holidays, when we recognize the light. And I'm telling you, his light brings a warmth and a hope and a shalom. And so whatever you're going through this Christmas, I want you to be reminded that in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he actually said that light illuminates. In fact, it illuminates all around the world. And that light that began in just a small dust bowl of a town, a place called Bethlehem, which is just a blip on a map, just a humble, sleepy little town. In that humble town was birthed a light that is bright and radiates all around the globe and reflects even to our lives, even yet here tonight. And so as you sit here, I want you to reflect for just a moment. Where might you need that light? And where might you need the shalom, the peace of Christ, this Christmas? You know, sometimes the Christmas story just has a way of speaking to us by simply just reading it. And so I want to read to you from the Gospel according to Luke about that first Christmas on that still, silent night. It says, in those days when God decided that it was time, Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from a town in Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Why? Because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because, as we know, there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because in fact, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace." Peace. Shalom to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. All who heard it were amazed. It was amazing. In fact, I don't know about you, but it still amazes me even yet tonight. How this evening, all over the globe, in over 2,000 different languages, hundreds of countries, thousands of dialects, men, women, and children are gathering together, just like you and I in this place, all because of a Jewish baby who we believe to be the Savior of the world. And some of them are gathering in public, just like we are tonight. Others are gathering in private, and yet others in secret for fear of their lives. But tonight, we are not alone. We're joining millions and millions of people to celebrate a Savior who came in the midst of the Christmas that we want and the Christmas we might be getting to bring us the peace, the shalom that we so desperately need. And regardless of how far away you feel this Christmas, regardless of how long you may have been away, in spite of your past, in spite of your failure, in spite of your sin, even in spite of the chaos that may be circulating in your life right now, in this season, we're reminded that God rushed forward not to just show us what he physically looked like, not just to show us that he cared, but to show us that we no longer have to negotiate our sin and our brokenness with him. He says, "I'm sending you a Savior so that your sin and your brokenness can be healed, and it's available to all who are willing to receive it. For unto us is born a son, for unto us is born a Savior." And that Savior brings the kind of shalom that allows you and I to put our head on our pillow tonight and to know that even though things all around us in the world are not well, that things can be well. between us and God. And so I want to invite us to pray. And maybe that's a peace you need this evening. Maybe it's a peace you want. And you just want to invite that peace in this evening. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you that this evening, all over the globe, millions and millions of people are gathered just like we are tonight, all focusing our attention on this Savior that was born. I just think for some of us, this might be the absolute best Christmas ever, not because everything's gone perfect through the last few weeks or month, but maybe because we're realizing that Christmas is about you drawing near to those who have drawn away, and you drawing near to those who are in despair and broken and feeling fractured. And then in spite of where we've been or in spite of what we've done, even in spite of the chaos going on around us, that those of us who choose to receive you tonight, that just say, yes, Jesus, I want to know that grace. I want to know that peace that you ushered in. Right now, Father, would you receive us? Would you just infuse our lives with your shalom, with your peace? Would you allow your grace to wash over our sin? Would you teach us what it means to follow and to love one another? And we just invite your peace and your presence to dwell not only tonight, but in every day going forward. And thank you, Jesus, that because of what you did, because you came to usher in this peace into our individual lives, that we can lay our head on our pillow tonight knowing things are good between you and us. Not because of anything we've done. It's actually in spite of what we've done, but simply because of what you did for us. And so thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers and responding and making yourself available to all who choose to receive you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus, according to your character and your identity. Amen.